You're listening to the podcast of East River Park Christian Church. If you'd like to find out more information about the church or donate to this ministry, please visit us at eastriverpark.church. We pray that this is an encouragement to you as you grow in Christ through the local church.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Behind the Message with Jason
and Chris.
We're back at it.
Yep.
Back at it. It feels like it's been 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, it feels
and
like
it's
forever.
Only been what?
A couple weeks.
That's only been a few weeks.
Just glad to be outside, man.
Yeah, Chris, do you want to tell everyone?
Yeah.
Do you want this to be public information?
I don't care. Yeah,
it's not 2020 anymore. Yeah, I think you can tell people.
I haven't kept it from anyone.
But. Okay. We want to tell all our listeners that Chris has survived another round of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So he's back at it.
Back at it.
Had COVID. Wasn't the most fun he's ever had.
No. But no.
I don't. But that's not why we didn't record. I mean, there was 1 week we took off, and then I was gone.
Well, Derek preached 1 week, and Matthew preached 1 week.
Did we do one about Derek's sermon? Mm-mm. That would have been fun. I don't know why we didn't.
You said because he probably didn't make a questionnaire.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do discussion questions that week because we knew most of the small groups weren't going to meet. And we had that potluck. That day, which, by the way, church was, I just feel like the potlucks have been real solid lately, you know? There was good food, like, and a decent amount, you know? I've been to church potlucks where, like, man, this is
really
disappointing. But, I don't know, I just thought they did a good job.
Good.
It was good. By they, I mean, not me. I didn't bring anything. But the word. I fed people
fed
the word.
Yeah,
they fed me casseroles and cookies.
Pretty even trade.
It was. It was pretty good. All right. Well, let's get started. We have launched the Easter series this past Sunday. It's a three-parter called Not in Vain. Travis, if he ever listens to it, he thought it said Not in Van. And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense, Travis. Not in, I think he was thinking of that Chris Farley, like in a van down by the river. So it's Not in Vain, a study of 1 Corinthians 15. Three-parter. Second part is this Friday, the Good Friday service, and then Sunday for Easter morning. So just to get us talking here, what's your Easter plans?
Easter plans. Protecting our flock Sunday morning. I have security.
Oh, okay.
Easter Sunday.
Someone asked me Sunday about security. It wasn't like a concern. They were just, it got brought up. And I was like, yeah, we actually do have a security team here. I said, I don't know anything about it. It's like Secret Service
That's
security.
Right. You don't know
but
where
I know
we're at.
There's a rotation. I know that we do. I'd say we do better than most small churches that I'm aware of. So there's people guarding that are on that team and people guarding that are not on that team.
Yeah. But that's my week's this week.
Right.
So I'll be, won't be in service, but I'll be there. Protecting everyone, and then after that, we will probably go to lunch at my grandma's house.
Nice.
In North Carolina.
What did they make a special Easter meal?
I don't know. I mean, I don't. No.
No.
I don't know. I don't know what the menu is.
No.
But I don't know.
I'm like so hungry. I'm just thinking about what are you gonna eat?
I mean, I was thinking it might be ham and mashed potatoes and corn, but I could also see it being like hamburgers and hot dogs because it's warm and nice outside.
I don't know. It's supposed to rain all weekend.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah. I don't think we've had a sunny Easter since 2020.
Yeah,
we're 2021. I saw the... it was in my Facebook memories today. I had shared the Easter here where they did it outside, and like Derek and I again, we had both had COVID and didn't come to that. And shout out to Jeff Curtis. He is the pastor at Oak Grove Christian. I think I said that right. But love Jeff. He filled in last minute. I remember I was sitting in my bedroom, the bedroom at our house, rewriting the Easter message like 100 times and just could not get my brain to work. And I thought, okay, maybe I should not teach this Easter this time.
That would have been fun just to see what you would have said.
Oh, I mean, it was just, I couldn't type a paragraph. I don't know if that was inflammation with COVID. It was just serious brain fog.
Yeah.
Could not make it happen. But anyways.
So what are your Easter plans other than sharing the word?
Sharing the word. Parents will be in town.
Okay.
We usually try to, like, we'll buy those pre-packaged eggs and just hide them in the yard for the kids. But if it's going to rain, I don't know what we'll do. So just do that. I think we're trying to find a place to eat on Sunday. No cooking? We'll probably, I don't know. I'm cooking. Well, I'm putting things in a crock pot for them on Friday. It's a Mississippi pot roast. Yeah, Dad texted me like a picture of like a possum, and I was like, "Well, that's not what I meant." It's really good. It's if anyone wants the recipe, please let me know. Let's just talk about food the whole time.
Talk about food the rest of the time.
Yeah, no, that's our game plan. Hopefully, it'll be pretty relaxing but fun, but.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians 15, only 1 through 19. And I'm answering three questions from this series. The first question was, what does the resurrection mean?
So, first question for you, because we are in this podcast.
We're a little rusty here.
Jason, what is the gospel that Paul preached?
That Christ died for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
That Christ was buried, and that Christ rose from the dead. I think it's in verse 3 of the passage. I'll have to pull it up here. But that's exactly what Paul says. And I brought that up because when I tell other people, or when I ask other people, what is the gospel, I usually get a million different answers.
Yeah.
I'd say most of them are usually true things. I usually don't hear a lot of like, whew, that's not even in the Bible kind of things. They usually say true things like love your neighbor, you know, walk, try to be a good person. They're talking about walking, trying to walk in righteousness, loving God. I think all of those are true. I know all of those are true things in the Bible, but the gospel itself, the good news, is that Jesus died for your sins, that he died, and he came back from the dead. Mm-hmm. That's the simple, profound gospel. And I think we don't need to talk about the implications of that at the beginning. The implications don't save you. It's the gospel that saves you.
Right.
So it's really just trying to get through to our church, to myself. You know, that's a good thing to preach to yourself. It's when you preach the gospel to yourself, it's Jesus died for me and he was buried and then he rose from the dead.
Yep.
That's what you preach to yourself. That's what you're thankful for, that you give your life to. So it's really just a reminder of the simplicity, the clarity of that. And then we can talk about the implications after that. So I guess we'll go ahead and jump into some of those implications. Why must we hold fast to the gospel that is preached?
Because it's our foundation. It's our saving faith. Without Christ Jesus, we have nothing. We have nothing to cling to or share.
Yeah. Did you listen to this sermon?
Yeah.
Did you go back? Did you watch it or listen to it?
I watched it today.
Oh, you watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little conflicted sometimes because we record the first service. I don't know if
yeah.
Sometimes I think most times, I think the second service, I'm a little bit more locked in, but I'm like, well, we recorded the first one. Yeah. So
yeah, I watched it today. That's what Alex asked me. She's like, did you watch this? I was like, well, yeah, I kind of have to. I was like, I guess I could just look up all the answers, but I was like,
well, I mean, hopefully, but the discussion is about what's true from the Bible, and that's what's true from what I said or didn't say on Sunday. But yeah, I tried not to get into this whole like salvation issue on Sunday, but I think it's a reminder whether you believe you can lose your salvation or not.
Yeah.
We have to all agree that you hold fast to Christ until the end, or you're not saved. And I think that there's obviously evidence of that in 1 Corinthians 15 and plenty other cross references that I mentioned. Like, hold fast to the only thing that can save you. I mean, I know it's a pretty corny illustration, but it's like if you're drowning out in the middle of the sea and someone throws you a raft and you're like, all right, I'll just hold on to this for half the time.
Right.
And you're like, well, you're going to drown.
Yeah.
Like, you got to hold on to it the whole time until it gets you back home. So, anyways. All right.
Okay. Jason, is there historical evidence of the resurrection of Christ?
Yes.
Moving on.
Point one. there is. I'll probably talk about it some on Friday as a recap, but Paul spends, I think, verses 5 through 8, he does spend time talking about the eyewitness accounts. Specifically, he mentions Cephas or Simon Peter. He mentions showing himself to 500 brothers at one time. You know, it wasn't like just a scattering, like all these people. And I think I quoted, is it Lee Strobel? I don't know how to say his last name. Is it Strobel or Strobel?
Strobel, I believe.
Who wrote Case for Christ, wrote on that topic. Yeah, Corey and I saw him, I think it was at Heartland Church in Rockford, Illinois. He spoke. I took students there. And I remember that night because we walked in and the whole sanctuary smelled like it was hot chlorine. And they had a gigantic above ground swimming pool in the back of their sanctuary for like baptism that Sunday. They were and I was like, wow. I'm like, you don't see that often. And then I remember it was like serious tornado warnings that night. And I think, I don't know if they cut it short, but they made a comment about like, hey guys, we're watching the weather. But anyways, Lee spoke that night. And so he certainly mentions like 500 people didn't have individual hallucinations that all matched.
Right.
You have Jesus, the eyewitness account of Jesus showing himself to James, his half-brother, who, as the Gospels mentioned, didn't even believe Jesus was the Messiah until all of a sudden things have changed. The same with Paul or Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church. So I'd say the biggest historical evidence of the resurrection of Christ are those eyewitness accounts. And then you can go back and trace like how many of these early manuscripts and early church fathers have backed up that resurrection, that there's far more, I guess, historical references to this than other ancient sources. So just a random thing to get us going here. What does the resurrection mean? Here's point one. It means his grace is not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, why does Paul call himself one untimely born?
Paul is likely referring to being born again or coming into a relationship, start following Jesus. And he did it after all the others had already come to know him during Jesus' time on earth. So Paul only came to faith in Christ after Jesus had already ascended to heaven when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And you can find that in Acts chapter 9, 3 through 6, and chapter 22, 6 through 11.
Yeah.
The article I read put it this way, though, that said that Paul is a prototype of the modern believer, one who learns of Christ through the resurrection looking back as opposed to the other apostles who learned of Christ before the resurrection.
Yeah, I'll probably mention it later here, but or maybe I won't. But Paul, I didn't bring it up on Sunday, but Paul is trying to defend his apostleship often throughout the epistles, the letters. I think that's what you'll see, and it's that running theme. Like, yeah, I wasn't there, but he still revealed himself to me, the resurrected Christ, and so he's often trying to assert his authority, rightly so, in the church.
Yeah.
Who I was telling James on, not the brother of Jesus, James on Sunday morning. We were talking about it after the message. I'm like, Paul, people didn't rightly believe in Paul either. You know, yeah. If we had a guy come to our church and he's been killing some of us and dragging us off, and then all of a sudden he comes in, he's like, look, guys, I was a bad guy. God saved me.
Yep.
We're like, yeah, but we're that security team that exists. We're going to keep an eye on you. We're going to watch you.
Yeah.
Because we're not really sure. I think people are skeptical of him, and I think.
Yeah.
So, but anyways.
So, Jason, why was Paul the chief of sinners?
Ooh, do. Well, I think we had already mentioned some of it.
Yeah.
Trying to find the exact verse here. Yeah, I mentioned this passage on Sunday, 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And I think Paul is alluding to the fact that I was a persecutor of the church and a persecutor of the way. He not only allowed but watched the murder of Stephen being stoned to death. So I think we talk about, was Paul the chief of sinners? That's really what it's alluding to. And I think in many ways something that we should look at, do you see yourself in that way? Or you're well, other people are the chief of sinners and I'm just a mediocre sinner. I think it's Paul's, when Paul uses that language, I think he's talking about just his overwhelming transformation of what the gospel has done in his life. And that we can learn from that, even if you're some kid that grew up in the church. The same sin that condemned Paul is the same sin that condemned you. So, all right. Can we ever sin so greatly that grace can't be extended to us?
No. And, you've given examples just now and during this sermon. You gave the example of Paul's life, persecuting Christians and murdering them. And then, so no. Unless, you go to the full reject. If you've rejected Christ your entire life, then. But no, that'd be it.
Yeah. We bring up that, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that kind of. I don't think there's one thing, one thought, one thing that you can say, you've done this, and therefore the gospel can't reach you. To your point, it's a continual rejection of Christ until there's no time left.
Yep.
When you're dead, I think that's the grace can't be extended to you anymore.
Speaking of grace, Jason, how does grace change who we are?
All right, I'm reading from the passage, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, and I love the verse, he says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. That is alluding to, I'd say, Paul's identity has shifted because of the grace that's been extended to him. Like, he's, we live in a culture, and I mentioned on Sunday, like, we live in a culture where people just say, I am what I am, and, like, people can't change and all of that. I mean, I've heard that a lot. Like, I thought about that. I thought about it driving home Sunday after preaching the message, like, how many times I've heard people say, like, people can't change. I've heard Christians say that. I've heard good friends say that. And in many ways, I get it, because, I mean, we're just people of experience. By our experience, you're like, yeah, for the most part, you don't see a lot of people change. You know, if you're a liar, you're going to be kind of a liar your whole life. And, but the radical message of the gospel is that you can. I just thought that, I don't know why, you know, there's little thing, implications of the gospel that sometimes you've heard your whole life and it just hits you at different points. And that was a thing that hit me, like, no, you can change. You can change into something that no one ever thought you could be. And that's what Paul is saying, like, by the grace of God, by the grace, the gospel that come into my life, I am what I am today. And it's nothing that I've done to deserve that.
Right.
And he does mention working harder, and, like, obviously he's a ministry hustler, if you can put it that way. Maybe I shouldn't, but he does work hard, but he's a new creation because of grace. So I think that's a good reminder for me and for all of us. You know, you can't just keep saying, like, I'm just always going to be this way. Right. I'm like, well, that's not what the gospel says of you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I could talk a lot about that one, but there's my answer. Point two. It means our preaching is not in vain. For you, why is preaching without the gospel preaching that is in vain?
I think I messed my answer up here, so let me see if I can decipher it. All right. If there is no resurrection, that would mean that Christ was not raised from the dead. If Christ was not raised, then Paul's preaching, your preaching, anyone's preaching of the gospel would be false. In the face of those who believed would be worthless, and all would remain in their sins. So, I mean, essentially the gospel is everything. If you don't have the gospel, then you don't have a leg to stand on. It's what saves us. Jesus saves us. So without that, your preaching would be in vain.
Be a big, fat waste of time.
Yep. So, what is so powerful about preaching the gospel?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I was just looking this verse up. I don't know if I mentioned it on Sunday. Maybe I did. But Romans 1. 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And now that I say that, I don't think I did. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. What's so powerful about preaching the gospel? It's not the preaching, it's the gospel. So, you know, like, we're going to talk about it here in a few moments, but I think that's what matters when we think about preaching. And if I can, I guess my confession too, in that I feel that pressure every Christmas, Easter as a preacher or pastor, because you're always trying to think through what new, creative, cool way can I say this? Like, people have heard Christmas, Easter messages, for most of them, their whole life. And so you're thinking, well, how can I repackage this so it's going to punch someone's soul?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I guess you begin to learn, like, people just need, not only do they want, but they need the gospel. Just preach the gospel.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. Tell people that Jesus was born. Tell them the gospel. It's Good Friday, Easter. Tell them that Jesus died and he came back from the dead. It's the gospel. Yeah. And so I just feel that pressure to do more. And I'm like, well, what's the point? That's not the point. That's not where that power is. So, all right. Well, there's that. I'm sure I'll confess other things here publicly on the podcast. I ate jelly beans for breakfast. I'll confess that. Caught two cups of coffee and jelly beans, and then my stomach was like, look, man, we're getting way too old for this.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. Question for you. How can we be confident when we share the gospel with coworkers, friends, and family?
Well, you just said it. The power comes from the gospel, not from us. So we can be confident because we are sharing the truth. Besides, I mean, we're not saving anyone. Jesus does that. I mean, plant the seed and let the word do its work.
Yeah, that's good. I just think we struggle with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, I mean, I asked that question at small group, but at the same time, I'm like, it's kind of a silly question if no one ever does it, right? Like,
yeah.
Talking about how can we be confident we share the gospel, and then you're asking that question to people, and we're like, are you even doing that? Wait a second. Like, we're talking about, are you confident when you're doing it? I'm just asking, are you even doing it? It's tough, and I certainly know there's people in the small group in our church that are. So it's that challenge of, like, just go, you know, go after it. We'll talk about the content here in a second.
Jason, for you, how can we be confident in our preaching but careful in the content that we preach?
Okay. I think we've talked about the confidence, that our confidence is in not how well we communicate it, the message, or what cool illustrations we're using. It's in the power. Our confidence comes in the power of the gospel.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't care about what we say, you know? And I didn't know how to fit that into the message on Sunday, but I'll address it now. Because I'm not saying I don't care what I say on Sunday or on for the Good Friday. I deeply care what I say. Yeah. I prep. Like, maybe I'll get away from it one day, but I manuscript everything. So I write down everything word for word. And I think the Holy Spirit's at work in that prep just as much as me winging a message on Sunday. So I'm not saying just because we believe in the power of the gospel, you don't need to know anything or prep anything or pray over anything. So let me say this. When you're preaching the gospel to your kids, your family members, your friends, coworkers, whatever situation you find yourself in, I'll give three helpful things. First one is just preach the gospel.
Yep.
Okay? You don't need to be creative. You can just tell people about how Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. Now, if you want to get more into that, I can give you more. You can just find me on Sunday or whatever. I can give you more information on, like, how to do that in a conversational tone. But it's preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Careful in the content. One, you need to know what the gospel is.
Yep.
But then, so preach. Secondly, is use your testimony. That's what Paul is using here.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's not even trying to get into some debate with anyone about politics or how the world was created. It's, here's the gospel I just told you about. Let me tell you how that changed my life. And I would say maybe we don't preach. We don't share like that because maybe the gospel hasn't changed our life, you know? If you can't define that, like, you need to ask yourself, are you even a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can't, like, even think. Now, it might be difficult to articulate, but if you can't even think through how Jesus changed anything in your life, maybe Jesus hasn't changed anything in your life. So I think, yeah, preach testimony, use your testimony as that relational leverage of like, look, I'm not trying to like force this on you. I'm just trying to tell you how this changed my life. And then thirdly, and this came from small group, someone had a coworker that just has 1,000 questions about the Bible and criticisms, and, and they're just a skeptic. And I would, my recommendation in that is, when you're confident in that conversational kind of preaching, and maybe I shouldn't be using the terminology preaching, but people know what I'm getting at. If people ask you questions you don't know or are not confident in answering, there's the wonderful trick is just to say, hey, that's a great question. I don't know. I'll get back with you tomorrow or next week on it. That's all you have to say. You don't, if someone says something crazy about, let's just say the existence of evil, and the way they phrase that question just throws you off, and you're like, that kind of trips me up, you know? Like, then all you have to say is like, that's a really good question, but I don't want to give you some fake churchy answer, so let me step back and respond to that later. And I think not only will you know, people respect you for that, then you can go do your own research, ask a pastor or elder, ask other people, and then come back with a better answer. Now, they may not like that answer, but at least you have that. So that's what I'm talking about, sharing the gospel with coworkers, friends, and family. Preach, make that the gospel the primary importance, share a testimony, and then you know, don't be afraid of questions. So
it's good.
All right. 3, it means our faith is not in vain. What does resurrection mean? It means our faith is not in vain. Mm-hmm. Chris, if Christ is still dead, why is our faith futile?
I mean, I think we've touched on this a million times so far in this podcast, but all of Christianity hinges on Christ returning from the dead.
Yeah.
I mean, if he didn't die, if he's still dead, then we're still lost in our sin. I mean, we're going to die. Yep. And we will never live again, if that were to be true, but thankfully it's not. But yeah, I mean, everything hinges on Christ coming back to life. And even if he didn't, if he's still dead, then the apostles went through a lot of pain and suffering.
Did I send you for that nothing? Video?
Is it the Babylon Bee one?
Yeah.
The prank, yeah.
No. This is where they're like, the disciples are around a campfire.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to pull a prank. Like,
they're talking about, like, then we'll
and then the one guy's like,
yeah.
Why? Or something like that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I watched it. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I saw it initially. I think it was on TikTok. It was about how atheists think, like, Christianity started. It's really funny.
I watched it. But yeah.
That's good.
So, Jason, how is our faith not wasted?
I think I tried to hammer this a lot over the past few months. I mean, our faith is not in wishful thinking. It's belief, trust, and the promises of a written word that things have happened and will happen. So it's not wasted when things are going through a difficult time and you might have difficulty. Maybe we get confused when we think about our own life and we're like, well, you have faith that things get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you're kind of hoping things get better. And maybe you have faith that God will work in that situation, but there's no promise that, like, you're going to make a certain amount of money or that, like, someone you love isn't going to get sick. Like, the faith that's not wasted is the faith in salvation, that Christ will make all things better. So I think that is when we talk about our faith is not in vain because of that Jesus died and that he rose from the dead. When we have faith in the gospel, it's kind of a teaser, I guess, for Good Friday. We have that kind of faith. It's not wasted because we will also rise with Christ. So I don't know. There's that one. There's that answer. There's a summary question here. Do you have eternal hope in Christ? If people don't realize, I try to leave. I don't always do it, but I try to leave the summary question till the like right before I pray. Because if I give it too early, people are like, and we're done.
Like, check out.
They're checked out. I mean, that's even assuming people are even taking notes. But I get it. I get it. I just, have you ever been to those churches where, like, it's near the end and people are packing up and the preacher's like, no, we're not done. Yeah. We're not done. Yeah. I can't decide if I hate that or love that. And maybe it's the context and the preacher.
It's like, my paper's all filled out.
It's, yeah, I'd be like,
I don't know what you're doing up
I'll
there.
I'll tell you this. I said, Amigo's getting real busy, so you better be done. All right. Two more questions. Is it wrong to be hopeful in Christ for things to get better in this life?
Well, you just kind of answered a lot of this in your previous question. Sorry. No, I mean, I would say no, it's not hopeful, but at the end of the day, our hope is in Christ. Regardless of what happens on this side of eternity, our hope is in Christ. So whether things get better or they don't, our hope is still in Christ.
Yeah.
And we may not see that on this side of eternity, but to know that it will be better one day in eternity on God's time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you kind of answered my question now, too.
Oh, sorry. So your question, how does eternal hope impact our life right now?
I think maybe I mentioned this in a message months ago, it's seeing far enough ahead. So sometimes we can only see today, our current mess.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you can only see the mess that's coming in the next few weeks. Or sometimes you just can't see anything past that. And the plea of the gospel is just look far enough ahead to know that it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be a Good Friday theme for this Friday. So, I think that's how it can impact your life right now. It fills you with a kind of hope that, like, it's just not always going to be this messed up.
Yeah.
And hopefully that, no pun intended, but hopefully that motivates you, frees you to work on things now. You know, what you're talking about, does eternal hope impact our life right now? The gospel doesn't mean sit around and do nothing.
Right.
It should motivate you knowing, like, hey, go to battle because the victory, you already got the victory.
Yeah.
I think that's a Phil Wickham song.
I like Phil Wickham.
I do too. Which, again, hopefully he's done wearing V-necks, but yeah, I do like his music. All right, well, we're done with this part. We'll be back again, but in 1 Corinthians 15. So, well, as a disclaimer, not a disclaimer, I guess a reminder, the Good Friday service, believe it or not, is this Friday at 6:30. Hey, there's TJ, one of our deacons. You want to come in here and do the podcast? He's shaking his head. No, we're almost done, man. Okay, I'll come find you. So that's at 6:30. There is childcare for that.
Nice.
And then Sunday, two services.
Two services, regular
like
time.
Like 9:10:45. I think they're doing some kind of food in between, like light refreshments. If you show up to that and you're like, this is great. If you show up and they aren't doing that, that's on me. Apologize. So we kind of do what we did last year. I mean, we'll do the two Easter services. Mm-hmm. We'll have someone taking, saw it down there, kind of like a little photo area.
Okay, I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, we'll set that up. Okay. Just, I think it's good for families to have a little Easter picture, especially if it's going to be pouring rain outside. But I know I'm being a bummer. All right, but anyways, it's Good Friday. It's coming up, the service. How can we prep? This is the end. How can we prep our hearts for the Good Friday service?
Some basic general.
Put it on your calendar.
Yeah, put it on your calendar for sure. No, I got repent. Check your heart. Have pray. spend time in Scripture.
Yep.
Reflect on Christ's sacrifice.
Watch the Mel Gibson movie.
Watch The Chosen. That's all I had. All
right.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think in many ways it's how we should prep for any service.
That's true.
But yeah, I think if any time like this during the year, it gives you an opportunity to do a little extra. I'm not trying to, I don't even have ideas for that necessarily, but spend extra time in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe read an article about the crucifixion of Christ. And so, yeah, I think, but maybe to your point, and I think it's the strongest, is repent. So we will take communion on Good Friday and on Sunday, but those are also built in really solid times to just, man, get your heart right with God. Yep. So
it's a warning for them.
Yep. Yeah. do it or die. Yep. Here's a warning for that. I always if I do communion devotionals, like separately, I always love to read that because I think something we like skip over it. Let's just prepare our hearts. And then it's like, yeah, but if you don't, some of y'all got sick because y'all think this is a joke. Some of y'all have died. All right. Well, you want to pray?
I can.
All right. Let's pray and then we'll hunt TJ down.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, just again, thank you for this time that we can gather together and dive deeper into your word. As we come upon this time, Easter celebration, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for taking on the form of human, coming down, being born, living a sinless life, and then carrying our sin on the cross, paying a debt that we owed that we could not pay, and then giving us in return your righteousness so that we could be known by you and the Father. Thank you for all that you're doing here at East River Park. May we continue to do your will, Lord God, and that others may come to know you and worship you and give you the honor and glory that you deserve. And it is in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.